The reading this morning is from the book of Luke, beginning at verse 1 to 21. The temptation of Jesus. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the desert, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone." The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, "I will give you all their authority and splendor, for it has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. So if you worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered, "It says, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He taught in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom, and he stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has appointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began by saying to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Amen.
Amen. Would you pray with me as we ask God, like Samuel did, "Lord, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your presence, Lord, with us. We bow our hearts to you. We give you the glory. We give you the honor. We give you the worship and the praise. Thank you for being in our midst, Lord. Thank you for being in our midst, Lord. Speak, Lord. We need your voice. It is your voice that we want to find. In Jesus' name, amen." Amen. The title of the message is "The Mission of Jesus is Our Mission." As I said, we've been 14 years in Lebanon, and just 3 years ago, of course, we were doing so much ministry all over the Lebanon, and I was the dean of students at the Baptist Cemetery, seminary, and doing that for about 5.5 years, and also planted a number of home groups from scratch in our neighborhoods, and did lots of preaching around in the evangelical churches, encouraging the church and doing lots of ministry, doing lots of person evangelism, seeing people come to Christ over the first 10 years and doing big outreaches in hotels to see hundreds of youth and young adults being touched for God. And it was an awesome 10 years of amazing, honestly amazing ministry. But the last 3 years has been the most awesome of them all. When you start a local church, and it is nothing like the local church. As Bill Hybels says, it really is the hope of the world. And we started with about 8 adults, and Joyce and I, 10 adults in our home, in our home. And then from that, we went and rented an apartment. And within about 2 years, it became 70. And then we got kicked out because the Catholic Church put some pressure, I believe, on the owner. And he, after we fixed it all up, he also thought that would be a good idea because I didn't get more rent. And then we had to go, where do we find a place? And we found a place miraculously to rent. And the last year and a bit, we have gone from 70 to 130. And God is an awesome God. Amen. He is the God who of many, many miracles. And we are grateful, we are thankful to His hand upon our life. But the mission of Jesus is our mission. Is my mission, it's your mission. And in this passage, there are many points, but 3 things I'd like to talk to us about this morning. And the first one is that Jesus refused to serve Satan. Jesus refused to serve Satan. Friends, There are two powers in this world, and you're going to be serving one or the other. There is no in between. And who will you be serving? Jesus here refused to serve Satan. It says, then Jesus, you know, it talks about him, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. Satan tried to stop Jesus from obeying his God-given mission to preach the good news and be the suffering servant who would die on the cross for our salvation, as Isaiah 61 prophesied. That was the thing that Satan wanted to stop Jesus from doing. Satan tempted Jesus to obey him instead of God, when he said to him, if you are the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. But Jesus refused to serve Satan by choosing to obey the word of God and not the desire for food. For man shall not live by bread alone, but by the word of God. Friend, there is such a temptation for each one of us to serve Satan indirectly by wanting food before God. I mean, people are making food an idol. People are, they fantasize, they dream. The whole life is driven by food, many people. I mean, look at MasterChef. I don't know about that, mate, but I see lots of people are idolizing food these days. And just to think it's a minor thing. But the pleasure for food, Jesus could have said, you know, this is my need. I need food. But he said, no, I need God more than food, more than my appetites. Do I put God above my appetites and my pleasure and my need? Jesus refused to serve him in that area. Then Satan tried to tempt Jesus to serve him instead of God by offering him the kingdoms of this world. You know, saying, I can make you the best ruler, the king, anything you want. Just what? It says, worship me. Just worship me. And isn't what the world wants from each one of us, to the spirit of this world, isn't what Satan wants, is worship. But it's camouflaged. It is so deceptive, friends. Even Christians are deceived and lulled into the spirit of this world of worship without even knowing. But Jesus refused, saying, you shall worship God and serve Him only. There is a temptation for us to want power. There is a temptation for us to want glory. There is a temptation to want fame. There is a temptation to want money and to serve it. And I think we need to allow the Holy Spirit to show us where is our heart? Where is our love? What do we give our energies to? What do we give our love to? Is it those things? Because the Word of God says that we are only to worship Him, our God, and serve Him only. Only. Satan tempted Jesus to obey him instead of God by saying, throw yourself down and God will send His angels to care for you. In other words, Jesus, do things your way. Be independent. Do what you want to do and God will fix it up. God will have to. You know, you will, you know, kind of, you know, take him by the arm and force his arm. And Jesus said, no way. I will not act independent of my God, of my Heavenly Father. I only do what I see the Father do. And I will do what God wants. And friend, what are we doing? Are we acting independent? Are we acting because we think we know it, because we think we're okay, we'll do things our way, we'll act the way we want to act, we'll live the lifestyle we want to live? Or do we want to honor the Lord and do what He wants us to do? You know, it's so easy in the Aussie culture because it's not as overt. It is so easy in the church and outside the church to act independent of God. Because, you see, God doesn't have to rule my life. He can rule some areas of my life. He doesn't have to rule the way I dress, the way I talk, the way I do marriage. You know, I can come to church and I can't stand my wife, but I'll lift my hand and I'll worship God. You see, I don't have to forgive my wife because I'll do things my way. You see, I don't have to love my brothers and sisters here. I can hold unforgiveness and bitterness and grudges and, you know, I'll do things my way. That way will get you no way. You see, to be a follower of Christ, to be a disciple of Christ, is take up what? Deny yourself, take up the cross and follow Him. Refuse to serve Satan. Refuse to do what the world teaches you to do, to be independent, to act as you want, to do what you want. No, Jesus refused. You see, if He did not refuse there, He could not have done His mission. And unless you refuse to serve Satan and the spirit of this world, you will never be able to be who God wants you to be and make you the way He wants. We must be a people who say no to serving Satan, to serving this world, and say yes to worshiping the Christ who died for us and to serve Him above all, friends. That is the key to succeeding in any mission. That is the key to honoring Christ. We must first be a people who say, what? I submit to God, refuse the devil, and he will flee. We must be a people who refuse to serve Satan. The second point that I'd like to share is about not only did Jesus refuse to serve Satan and this world and its pleasures, Jesus chose to serve God and His mission. Jesus chose to serve God and His mission. And it is a choosing that you and I must do. God doesn't force you. You must choose. We read in verse 18 and 19, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He's anointed me to preach the good news to the poor, to proclaim freedom to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Here's Jesus reading from Isaiah in the synagogue where He grew up. And He's saying, I am the Messiah. I am He whom Isaiah is speaking about. I am the ruler, the King, the Savior, who's come to bring justice and peace and salvation. And this is what I'm going to do. What is Jesus going to do? He's going to preach the good news to the poor. Jesus came to preach good news to the poor. Thank God that He did that. He preached the good news to the poor before us. He preached what? He told them, turn from sin and follow me. Turn and follow God. Turn and believe in the one who is the Savior, and you will have eternal life. That's the good news, friends. He came to preach the good news. And to the poor, who are the poor? They're the ones like you and me who said, I need you, Lord. I am desperate. I cannot do it without you. I need a Savior. I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. Who admit their need for God, who admit their bankruptcy, who admit they are sinners. They are the poor. See, in Revelation, Jesus said to those, he said, you say you're rich and you've prospered and you have no need, but let me tell you, you are poor, you are pitiful, you are naked, you are wretched. And I want to say that everyone out there, in there, anywhere, without Christ, we are poor, we are naked, we are wretched. That is the true condition of everyone without Jesus Christ. And Jesus came to preach the good news to the poor. And many of us here have accepted that good news, and we've become followers of Christ. Oh, and it is good news. It is good news that has given us life. Friends, the good news is that though I'm a rebel and wicked and I deserve hell, the good news is Jesus died to save me and shed his blood to forgive me. That's good news. That even though you are a what? You could be as far away from God as possible. The good news is no matter what you have done, no matter how you've destroyed things or brought pain to you and others, that Christ died to bring you to him. That's the good news, that he can save you and deliver you and give you life eternal. That is the good news, friends, that there is no news under the sun like it. That is the good news. You've received it. I've received it. Praise God. That's what Jesus came to do. And the good news is not just when we first were born again. The good news is for us every day. Not only did he save us from our sins, but every day he wants to save us and deliver us from the things that we face every day. Friends, we need the good news to be preached to ourselves every day. We need to love the good news and enjoy the good news. And today, if you have not yet committed your life to Christ, you might be the son of the pastors or daughter of pastors. I tell my children, I said, just because I'm a pastor, I said, I'm sorry, it means nothing. It's a great privilege, but it means nothing unless you repent and follow Jesus and have a personal relationship with him. You will perish. Friends, that's the truth. People like to make it nice and whatever, but the truth is, I wouldn't be following Jesus if there wasn't the judgment, if there wasn't hell. I would have never come to Christ because I'm happy living in sin, thinking. But it was that truth that there is a judgment coming that turned me to Christ. But now, because of the experience that I have in Christ, that even if there was hell, I want to follow Christ. Even if there was no heaven and no hell, I want to love Christ and follow Christ because he changed my life. Because his love is healing. His love is power. His love is purpose and meaning. There's nothing under the sun like the love of Jesus. But I tell you, if you have not yet surrendered, the good news is, no matter who you are, you can be an elder, you can be a pastor, you can be whoever you are. The thing is, God is no respecter of persons. We all have to bow the knees and follow him to be saved. And I trust that you will do that if you haven't. So the first thing he did is to preach the good news. The second thing is that Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted. He came to heal the brokenhearted. And you know, our world is a broken world. Our world is a hurting world. We all have broken hearts. We all are broken. And Jesus came, and when you received him, he began to heal you. He began to restore you and heal your brokenness. No one can restore or heal your brokenness except Christ. No psychologist, no counselor. With all respect, they do a great job, but I'm telling you, they can never mend and heal a broken heart except the one who made it. And he came to heal your hearts. And friends, as Christians, are you continually coming to the one who can heal your brokenness? Because if you don't, you will act out of brokenness and never come to that healing and wholeness that God wants you to come to. And so I want to encourage you this morning, Jesus came. Some of you are broken. And some of you are struggling, and some of you are broken in your emotion, in your marriage, in your relationships, whatever, physically. But I want to tell you that Jesus came to heal your broken hearts. The world tries to break our heart every day. I want to encourage you that Jesus came, and he still wants you to come to him every day to be healed by him. He's the healer of our brokenness. Number three, Jesus came to free the captives and oppressed. Friends, Jesus came to free the captives and oppressed. Without Christ, the Bible clearly says we're all bound. We're all in darkness. We're all under the dominion of Satan. And only Jesus sets us free. He says, you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. Who's the truth? Jesus. When you come to know him in relationship, it's not just having some good knowledge in your head. It is having the one himself in relationship, living in you and walking with him and talking with him and obeying him. When you do that, he sets you free. Now, just because we are Christians, we are still oppressed by demonic powers. We are still, there are things in our, you know, what manner of a spirit are you, Jesus said to some of the disciples. You know, sometimes we operate in the spirit of that is ungodly. And sometimes we're bound by fear, by anxiety, by pornography, by all sorts of besetting sins. And Jesus came to set us free. That is the truth. The truth, you don't have to be bound. You don't have to stay bound. The truth is he wants to set you free. And this morning, we need to make choices to be free from those things. We cannot keep going through life bound by sin after sin, living in sin. Christ came to set us free. And he wants to set you free this morning. If you just say, Lord, I've had it. I want your power to set me free. And you will be free. Number four, Jesus came to give sight to the blind. Jesus came to give sight to the blind. I want to tell you, before Jesus came into my life, I was blind and deaf and dumb. And it was Jesus who opened my eyes. I was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. And I tell you, many are blinded. And just because we're Christians doesn't mean we fully see everything. We need to continue to come to the one who opens our eyes. As we come to his word, as we walk in relationship with him, he wants to continually open our eyes to see him, continually to see his truth, to see his character, to know him better. He wants us to be, you know, how many blind spots do we have in our life? Jesus said, what? Remove the plank out of your eye before you remove the speck out of your brother's. I don't have just planks. I have big electricity poles in my eyes. And I need Jesus to remove them. I need to daily allow God to open my eyes to the whatever garbage in my life and my attitude and my, I mean, this is where Jesus, just not a one thing and, you know, that's it. We need to continually come to the one who opens our eyes. And lastly, number three. So number one, Jesus refused to serve Satan, and we must refuse or we will never be able to be on mission with God. And number two, Jesus chose to serve God and his mission, and we must choose to serve God and his mission. So number three, the mission of Jesus is our mission. The mission of Jesus is our mission. It's not someone else's. It's our mission. It's our heritage. It's our privilege. It's our honor. It's our calling. There's nothing like it under the sun. And when Jesus met with his disciples before he went to heaven, he said, you know how Satan, he said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me from God, not from Satan. All authority. Satan, you have nothing. All authority is given to Jesus. And he says to the disciples and followers, I give it to you. You go and make disciples. You go and be my voice. You go and be me. And make disciples and preach to God. Do what? Fulfill the mission of Jesus in Luke 4. And in John 20, Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, I sent you. What for? To fulfill the mission. that Jesus came to do. And friends, we need to own the mission of Jesus as our mission. And we need to do the mission of Jesus by, number one, realizing that the Spirit of the Lord is upon you. The Spirit of the Lord is what? Upon you and in you. He has, you know, if you are a believer, if you're a follower of Christ, no matter how old, how young, I want to tell you the Spirit of God is in you. The power of Almighty God is in you. He's anointed you. He has given you power. He says, wait for me in Jerusalem and you will receive power to be witnesses to me. And friends, as we, as followers of Christ, as we're in relationship with God, as we're walking day by day with Him, talking with Him, obeying, I want to tell you, reading that word, letting it soak us, the Holy Spirit will fill us continually. We are anointed by God. That's why we can do the mission of Jesus. Not because we're powerful, it's because He's powerful. Not because we are wise, but because He is wise. He's anointed us, He's set us apart, He's empowered us to do the mission. Therefore, why shall we fear? It's not for super saints and pastors and preachers. It's for every one of you here. The Spirit of the Lord is upon you. Not only is He upon you, He is in you. And He is waiting for you and me to let Him have His way in our life and use us as He pleases. Friends, we cannot sit before the telly 4 or 5 hours and say, I'm going to go and preach the gospel and have anointing and have power. We can't live lives in sin on one hand and think, I'm going to be carrying out the mission of Jesus. We need to be a people who allow the Spirit of God to fill us and empower us. We need to be a people who really give ourselves to the Lord, and He will give Himself to us. And He'll do amazing things. The Spirit of the Lord is upon you. People can't sit 5 minutes without music or telly or anything. They just have to have the, you know. I want to encourage you to go by yourself and sit with God, friends. I've heard pastors say, you know, they go to coffee shops and read their Bibles and because, you know, there's people and things. I want to tell you, you need to be alone with God. Jesus went to the coffee shop every morning, it says in the gospel, to the Mount of Olives Cafe. And amen. And the thing is, we need to be alone with God. We need to be people who are not afraid to be alone with God, to share our heart with Him, to cry out to Him, to confess our sins, to repent from sin, to let Him show us our heart, to make us a people that are awesome for Him. We need to be a people who talk with God and walk with God. And that's why without that, Jesus said, you will do nothing. Abide in me and I in you. Friends, it is not programs, it is not sermons, it is sitting with God and letting Him know you and you know Him that's going to make you a man of God, a woman of God. Secondly, we do the mission not only by realizing the power of the Spirit of the Lord is upon us, but by preaching the good news of His death and resurrection. What He did, He wants us to do. You see, you are the Lord's hand and feet and mouth. And He wants you to share your faith with your friends, with people you work with your neighbors. I don't know, you know, but on Wednesday, God willing, I want to be able to share lots of stories of evangelism, whether in Australia or Lebanon, just in case you think. Because I was an associate pastor at Nawi Baptist Church. I grew up in Australia, just in case you think, man, this is just in Lebanon. But no, you know, I have the privilege of leading Aussies to the Lord too, okay? And as I said last time, if I was wanted to reach Cronulla, you know, I'd call myself Shane, dye my hair blonde, have a surfboard, and go down and have a go. All right? So just in case you think I'm too Lebanese for you, okay? But I want you to know that we are to share the gospel. We're to preach the good news, friends, not the bad news. You know, people talk about the weather for hours. They talk about sports for hours. They talk about their shoes, their nose, their hair, whatever, their pimple. But talk about Jesus. Yes. Talk about Jesus, mate, in your Aussie way, in your casual way, in your natural way. Like when I was at Bass Hill, living at Bass Hill, mate, on Saturday morning, you know, I'd hear the lawnmower go. I'd go, Joyce, I'm mowing the lawn today. The neighbor is mowing his lawn. So I'd go out, how you going, how are you? Well, I didn't want to mow the lawn, but I just did it because my neighbor is doing it. What a chance to connect with Bob. I mean, how am I going to meet Bob? Bob's not going to, you know, do anything unless I do this. So I just think we need to really share the good news and go out of our way, the extra mile, to do whatever it can to tell people about Jesus, friends. And it's all about us sacrificing. That's going to make us impactful in people's lives. Going out of our way, out of our comfort, out, you know, whatever it takes. There's nothing. People are precious to God. And no matter what energy, what price, what money, it's all worth it to see people hear the gospel and touched by God. And so preach, share the gospel, friends. That's our command. Share. Just be natural. Be yourself. Allow the Spirit who is upon you to speak through you. And number three, it's by helping to heal the brokenhearted. We are to heal the brokenhearted. Who's going to heal the brokenhearted? Some tele-evangelist? You are. You are. Friends, we have forsaken our calling. I'm glad we're a Baptist denomination, but I tell you, we have forsaken what the book of Acts has said. We are to be the people who to lay our hands on the sick and pray that God will help them to recover. We are the ones to lay hands on people and see them healed emotionally and spiritually and physically. We are not to be scared that if I lay hands, I'm going to be titled Pentecostal or some caro or whatever. This is our heritage. We are the people of God. And the Spirit of the Lord is upon us, in us. And I want to tell you, I've prayed for hundreds of people and many did not get healed. Many never got healed. But you know what? I've never laid hands on anyone and they never were touched by, I have never ever laid hand on someone, prayed for them, and they weren't affected by the Spirit of God. I want to encourage you, no matter how old you are, to lay hands on people, pray for them gently. Don't do a Benny Hinn thing. Just be a natural self, you know, just you know, in your own culture, in your own way. Stretch your hand and say, can I pray for you? And that guy Joe, he's, you know, Lebanese-American, grew up in America, bit solid built, went for a walk, shared the gospel, and came back and said, can I pray for you? So I prayed for him. The Spirit of God did more than I could ever say. Converted him beautifully, powerfully. And his wife came to know Christ. They were both baptized in there. Pray for people, friends. Just come alongside. People are hurt. And you extend yourself and pray for healing. And not only that, number four, it says release of captives and oppressed. As well, we need to be a people who believe that there are demonic forces that oppress people, that bind people. And it's you and I who are called in the name of Jesus to pray and see them set free as we share the gospel, as we lay hands and take the authority that Jesus has given us and pray. Declare liberty to them in Jesus' name. Because people are addicted. People are bound. And there are Christians that are bound and addicted. We need to lay hands and pray for them to be set free, as I said, from pornography, from fear, from anxiety, from the spirit of homosexuality, from whatever binds them. We need to be a people who are on mission. The mission of Jesus is our mission. And this is the acceptable year of the Lord. We don't know when the time will be over. This is our time. This is our time. The mission of Jesus is our mission. We need to allow his voice to find ours. And we need to be his voice, declaring in this wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord. Prepare the way of the Lord. We need to be those who touch, who speak, who set free in Jesus' name, not in our power, but in his power and his authority. As the finish with these two verses, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare Jesus Christ who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Arise and shine, for your light has come. Friends, Christ, your light has come, and he is in you. And thick, it says, darkness will cover the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. Okay? But the Lord rises upon you, his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Friends, find your voice in finding Christ, allowing Christ to speak through you, to touch through you, to proclaim through you, to love through you, to befriend through you, to give through you. Some of you who are older and you think, you know, you've got a lot of energy, Millard, and, you know, it's good when you yarn. When I tell you guys, I want to tell you, if you're 90 or 100, we need you badly. We need you badly to pray for us. Pray for your leaders. Pray for this church, for revival. You are amazing. We cannot do it without you. We need your prayers. We need your support. We need your care. So keep praying. Pray for the lost. And together, all of us are able, are an extension of God. Together, we are better. Whether we're young or old, we're all in this together. We all need to be doing our bit together. And you know what? Instead of retiring to golf, retire to praying, retire to love others, retire to serve, instead of retire to some, you know, empty game or empty thing, retire to the greatest gain of all, where what you do will echo in eternity, friends. Friends, let us be a people who do not retire, but refire, as someone said. We want to be a people who really make the mission of Jesus our mission. Amen.